And there you go. Cody Rhodes completes the trifecta. He beats Seth Rollins with a torn freaking pec. Yeah, the injury is real, everyone. Bad news for AEW. Bad news for WWE. We will talk about Cody Rhodes' injury because tonight this is your WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view recap and review hosted by yours truly. I want to thank you all for joining me. Earlier today, we did a NXT recap from In Your House. When I go like this, you could check out that recap. Fun show yesterday. We had some fun conversation afterwards. Now, for everyone who is live or if you're catching the replay via video, there's a fun little poll on the page if you want to participate. We've been having some fun lately with this very creative Hell in a Cell pay-per-view poster mocking the Judgment Day versus Balor, AJ, who was busted open today. Really bad. We got a little video of that. And Liv Morgan. You know, somebody did a little bit of aging process, what these guys are going to look like, I guess, in their 70s. And yes, I know it's kind of like bashing or replaying a broken record, but Edge looks like Shane Douglas. Damian Priest looks like a 75-year-old Puerto Rican version of Bill O'Reilly. The others, you do not want to mess with Rhea Ripley. But someone decided to do the opposite, and someone came up with this. This is like the Saved by the Bell version of the same people. Well, actually, no, I just noticed they actually took some other matches and threw them in there as well. I personally think they should have just left it with Judgment Day. So you vote. Which one do you like more? We have old-timers Judgment Day, and I guess this would be Saved by the Bell Judgment Day. All right. You know, Hell in a Cell, six matches. Much different than the 14 or 13 we got with AEW. The women's match got four. This is awesome chance tonight. You know, this is why I always say, if you check out my shows regularly, I don't like comparing AEW to WWE. It's two different types of styles. You know, you have TV 14, which is AEW, and it reflects a lot of the chaos you see in the ring. That's not a bad thing. That's not a good thing. It's just a different form of sports entertainment. WWE, more organized, family-friendly, more storytelling, don't need blood and guts. You know, that's what they do. You know, but that's why I don't like comparing the two. But no denying the women tore it up tonight. And unfortunately, speaking of tearing, if you saw my early thumbnail preview for tomorrow's post-show, they were going to do it 11.05 p.m., I had to change it. Instead of Rhodes to the top, and you see Roman Reigns' championship in the background, Rhodes to the DL. Unfortunately, Cody Rhodes, the story was 100% legit. While weightlifting and preparing for his match for tonight, he tore his pectoral muscle right off the bone, requires surgery, is going to be out 3 to 4 months, you would think, at a minimum. Now, look, I'm not going to post a picture of when I tore my bicep and my shoulder, but you all may remember the bruising that took place. Obviously, I didn't take my shirt off because I got a lot of flab, but you saw the shoulder and the bicep, and that's what happens. That's actually the telltale sign that it's a torn pec. But, you know, when he took his jacket off, and people saw, you know, the extent of this injury, you know, it silenced the crowd. I don't know if you picked up on it. Maybe I'm just reading a little bit too much. I thought Jimmy Smith may have taken a little knock, little shot at Sasha Banks and Naomi tonight. And Corey Graves agreeing with what Jimmy Smith said. Did you pick up on it? When Cody started this match and trying to work through the torn pec, Jimmy Smith said that Cody was showing his dedication not only to the WWE, but the fans by being there. And I thought that might have been a little bit of a shot at Sasha Banks and Naomi. Look, Cody Rhodes, you know, that obviously hurts and hurts bad. Imagine not only competing after the, and it's completely torn off the bone. So they have to reattach it. He's going to have rest for an extended period of time. This is obviously going to take a little bit of muscle mass off, and then he's got a slow road to recovery. So we will talk more about Cody Rhodes' injury tomorrow on Raw. Now, I know a majority of you may see this review after Raw takes place. I expect a big-time injury angle to go down tomorrow on Raw. I think that's how they'll write off Cody Rhodes for a little while. Maybe Seth Rollins, maybe he destroys Cody Rhodes tomorrow. Maybe someone else takes him out. I know some people are fantasizing, think that Bray Wyatt is going to make his return. And even if that does, why would he take out Cody Rhodes? I know you could dig a little bit deeper, but I think that's, you know, we don't need, you know, big time Easter eggs and research. You know, a lot of fans just want to watch wrestling and have a good time. They don't need to have to do a lot of research and study to understand why this is said or this is done. People just want to have fun. But I expect something like that to go down tomorrow. Now, another injury tonight. Ezekiel, a little bit busted open, next to the right eye. That happened when Kevin Owens threw him into the corner post outside the ring, caught him a little bit on the face. Not any deep wound. Now, unfortunately, I don't have the full-blown gushing of the blood with AJ Styles. But AJ Styles, for the majority of the end of the match, was non-existent, would probably be the better way to put it. If you did not see it, I only have about 7-8 seconds of it, and this is fan cam footage. If you look at the screen very closely, you will see the very beginning when he got busted open. And you know what? I will play the audio because you can hear the fans. There were fans on the right side of AJ Styles that saw the gushing, and they were like, oh, shit. So if you look at your screen, and I'm only going to play this once. Yeah. He even looked at the camera. He's like, oh, fuck. See? Yeah. So AJ Styles is probably going to be out for a little while. Thank God no other serious injuries, you know, coming out of this event. I thought this was a solid event. I mean, every match delivered. Now, I want to go out of place just to bring up one thing before I forget. Madcap Moss versus Happy Corbin. I honestly think you take every confrontation that Moss and Corbin have had leading up to tonight. You could take every confrontation and combined it. And I think the fans were over 10 times more tonight than they were in anything else with Corbin and Moss. So maybe you could look at it like save the best for last. Crowd was into it, but one thing you may have noticed, and I thought about it, and I said, okay, it's probably because of the main event. During that match, now, obviously, they're trying to get Moss over big time. He's got the physique. He's got the look. WWE really, really, really is high on Moss, almost as much as they are with Theory. If you notice tonight, fans want the tables. All throughout the entire match. We want tables. We want Corbin, you know, being the heel and being a dick, to say it bluntly, he teases taking out the tables and he puts it back underneath the ring. So the crowd boos, calling him an asshole. But you would think common sense, Omas, he's got to, not Omas as in Omas, MVP. By the way, if you haven't seen it yet, you got to check out that diss track that MVP did on Bobby Lashley. If you heard the NXT recap earlier today, because we got the debut last night at In Your House, I said, you know, and now I think Bobby Lashley is going to defeat MVP and Omos, especially after that diss track comes out. But, you know, you go back with Moss, they want to get him even more over with the fans. And this feud with Corbin has not helped all that much. So you would think, because the fans want tables, they chanted it at least a half a dozen times during this match, that Moss is going to give in. He's going to oblige. He's going to be the good guy and take the tables out. Didn't happen. Even Moss yelled at the fans, "You all want tables, but I want to whip his ass." After the match is over, and I'm like, how do you miss that opportunity? All he had to do was pull a table out, and the crowd would have popped huge for it. Then I said, oh, they're probably saving the tables for the main event. In fact, this is not news, everyone. This is just observation. But you know damn well, before you go to bed tonight, you will have some schmucks on wrestling news sites that are going to say, the reason why tables were not used in the Moss-Corbin match, and it's because our sources tell us that WWE wanted to save the table spot strictly for the Hell in a Cell main event. That's not news, everyone. But they will say, our sources. That's how the sausage is made. But a missed opportunity. You know, one table spot, was that really going to overshadow Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins? I think not. I think not. So anyway, we will get into the matches now. There's only six or maybe seven. So there's seven. So there's not that much to get into. After I get through the matches, we'll spend a few minutes with feedback, answering your questions from the live chat, super chat. You know, we'll get into it. So without further ado, let's pull it up. Women's match opens. Oh, by the way, WWE made sure to make us feel like Roman Reigns was there, even though he wasn't, because we got a nice long video package for Roman Reigns. Now, look, like I said, I don't want to get too deep into the Seth Rollins injury now, but would not be surprised if you hear some rumors that maybe Roman Reigns is willing to work a couple of extra dates to fill in the slack. When we get to Bobby Lashley, this might escalate Bobby Lashley's push a little bit. Tomorrow, I'll even discuss the possibility that Brock Lesnar, his return might be coming sooner than expected because of this Cody Rhodes injury. Because this is huge. This is obviously huge. No titles on the line, which was a good thing. So we don't have to worry about scrambling of titles. And yes, tomorrow on the Post Raw, we will talk about the AEW world title situation and this Eliminator series things they're doing with New Japan Pro Wrestling stars filling up half of it. Why New Japan stars have the opportunity to become AEW world champion baffles me, but we'll talk about that tomorrow. So anyway, Becky Lynch and Asuka trying to dethrone Bianca Belair in a three-way to open up Hell in a Cell. As I said earlier, we had four different This Is Awesome chants. You know, Corey Graves early on channeling his inner LL Cool J for Becky Lynch. Don't call it a comeback. She's been here for years. Used to love that song, by the way. But this match, the fans were behind Bianca Belair. No question. Fans appreciate Becky Lynch. No question. But in my opinion, the fans were deeply in favor of Asuka winning this match. The fans were really in the pocket of Asuka. Early on, Bianca Belair attempts a KOD on Becky Lynch, but Asuka stops it. Asuka with a lot of ass shots tonight. And I don't mean like pictures of her ass. I'm talking about using her ass as a weapon, the hip shots, as they call it. Bianca, you know, tries to suplex Becky Lynch, succeeds, hits a flurry of punches to Asuka in the corner. Becky Lynch tries to stop it. She's cornered. And then we have Bianca Belair doing the 10 punches to not only Becky Lynch, but also to Asuka. Asuka would return the favor a little bit later on. Becky Lynch, early on in the match, tries to use Bianca Belair's hair as a weapon. We didn't get any whipping tonight, but we really didn't get, the hair did not come into play really at all. I'm wondering if you're going to get Lacey Evans as a major, major heel, and if she ends up taking on Bianca. I know about the talks of her being on SmackDown, on Raw, back and forth, but if anybody, whoever, if it happens, if Bianca ever cuts her hair, whoever does it, if they allow someone else to do it, you know that's going to get insane amount of heat. But the hair did not come into play too much tonight. Bianca does the 10 punches to Asuka and Becky Lynch. Bianca then splashes both in the corner. Then while they're both laid out in the middle of the ring, Bianca runs against the ropes, flips over, splashes onto both of them for a two count. Now we're getting the This Is Awesome chance going through the entire match. Asuka ultimately getting the upper hand, lands a hell of a lot of butt shots, gets a two count on each woman. She attempts a pin on Bianca, attempts a pin on Becky, doesn't get either one. Asuka tries to put the ankle lock onto Becky Lynch. Bianca stops it. So Asuka decides, I'm going to put the ankle lock on both. And it was a good visual. I mean, you would think you really need two hands to apply an ankle lock. She was able to apply both, and it looked really, really good. And Becky and Bianca, to their credit, they were selling the ankle lock, you know, a minute or two after the move was executed. But Asuka ultimately gets thrown outside the ring. Becky Lynch with a manhandle slam to Bianca Belair. But Asuka, very, very late, breaks up the two count. Asuka gets the upper hand again. She gives a kick to Becky Lynch. German suplex to Becky Lynch. Asuka tries the hip attack once again, but Becky locks the disarmer onto Asuka. And Bianca Belair ultimately breaks it up. We get some dueling inside cradles going on. Asuka then locks the Asuka lock onto Becky Lynch with Bianca Belair outside the ring. Bianca eventually gets back in. And it was a little, I think, miscue because as Asuka had the Asuka lock on Becky, Becky starts rolling into the corner to break the hold, get the ref to break the hold. Bianca, instead of just entering the ring, I guess climbed the top rope and was going to try something, but she jumps off the rope and lands on her feet. Asuka tries a hip attack to Bianca Belair, but Bianca dumps her face first into the turnbuckle, so Asuka is out. Becky Lynch hits a manhandle slam on Asuka, and Becky Lynch goes for the three count, but Bianca Belair beats Becky at her own game. Remember last year? Those matches, we had a three-way match where Bianca Belair was going to get a pin, and then Becky Lynch threw Bianca outside. Didn't that happen in Saudi Arabia? Might have. And Bianca's thrown outside the ring, and Becky steals the win. This happened tonight. Asuka is laid out. Bianca goes for the pin, but Becky goes for the pin, but here comes Bianca. She just throws Becky outside the ring, and before Becky could get back in, match is over. So Bianca Belair steals the pin from Becky Lynch, and crowd loved this match. I mean, look, the main event, especially under the circumstances, it's very, very hard for any other match to have been better than the main event tonight. But I truly believe this women's match tonight has got to be in the top five of the best women's matches of 2022 so far. Not surprising, Bianca Belair retaining her championship. Look, it's sad what transpired with Sasha Banks and Naomi. In fact, as we already talked about, the suspensions may be up next week. Now, I'm already, Sunday, this is the beginning of the week. So I don't mean during this week. I'm talking about next week. It could be up. We'll see what happens. But my opinion, this might have been a blessing in disguise. Because would have Bianca Belair and Naomi, would they have torn it up like with the match we got tonight? There's no question that Asuka and Becky Lynch have beautiful chemistry. Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair have beautiful chemistry. We need a little bit more of Asuka and Bianca Belair to create that chemistry. But I think this match would have been better than anything that would have been given to us via Naomi versus Bianca Belair. So Bianca retains. We go to the next match. I got to be honest with you. I thought this match was very good. We knew what we were getting. We know Omos, what he can and cannot do. He's still very, very early in his career. Now, before this match started, we had, it was an awkward moment, but it had to be done because of what transpired later on. We see MVP and Omos in the back, and here comes Cedric Alexander. And to me, this felt more like, not like MVP telling Cedric, look, the Hurt Business, no more. Stop it. We don't need you. We don't want you. To me, it felt like reassurance to the fans that, look, fans, you think the Hurt Business, you know, it's over. We're not doing any alliances. So Cedric Alexander, a little bit dejected because MVP and Omos want nothing to do with him anymore. We'll get back to Cedric because he does factor a little bit later on in the match. As Corey Graves said, a Herculean task, but can Bobby Lashley overcome the odds against Omos and MVP? Oh, yes, he can. Insanely loud Bobby Lashley chants. The crowd. I mean, Bobby Lashley arguably may be the second most over Raw wrestler on that roster. The crowd was tremendous behind Bobby Lashley tonight. Early on, Omos, with a little bit of an advantage, wanted to do a test of strength with Bobby Lashley. We think we're going to get it, but instead Bobby Lashley, with a few low blows, goes after Omos a little bit, but Omos gets the upper hand pretty quickly. MVP tags himself in, gets a little bit of offense on Bobby Lashley while he is down. He is trash-talking Bobby Lashley. Is this your almighty? Right here, trashing him, embarrassing him in front of the fans. MVP, before Bobby Lashley could regain his composure, he tags Omos back in, and then Bobby Lashley starts getting the upper hand. He tries to focus on Omos's legs. You cut the tree stump, you know, you cut the tree trunk down, you know, Omos can't do much on his back. He attempts a suplex on Omos, but Omos drops Bobby Lashley face first on the mat. Hits nice looking snake eyes, pair of splashes, and then here comes MVP once again. Tags himself back in. Bobby Lashley laid out a little bit, and then Cedric Alexander shows up. But this time, because he's dejected, he was obviously rejected, he turns against MVP and Omos. Interferes a little bit. This ends up having MVP put in the Hurt Lock by Bobby Lashley, and MVP taps out. So Bobby Lashley gets the win, defeats MVP and Omos in a handicap match. And as Bobby Lashley is walking out, there's a fan sitting front row with a replica WWE Championship belt. Bobby Lashley grabs the belt, kisses the belt, and then you could visibly and audibly hear him say, I'm coming for this. So Bobby Lashley, you know, Cody Rhodes, 3 to 4 months, you have to think. You know, there was a lot of speculation. SummerSlam, could that have been the event where Cody gets that title? I shouldn't say regains, but gets that title from Roman Reigns. Now do you hold off Cody Rhodes winning a world championship until WrestleMania of next year? Understand, we're already in June. He's not getting surgery for at least, what, a week or two at minimum? So now you're talking towards the end of June, July, August, September, October. Now you're at the end of October. You're past SummerSlam. You know, you're right around Survivor Series time. You know, don't you want to build up a feud, build up a storyline? It might be more common sense for Cody Rhodes maybe to win the Royal Rumble and then challenge Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. This may end up with a scenario where Roman Reigns has at least one championship until WrestleMania. You got to remember also we have Clash at the Castle. And a lot of people feel that that will be Drew McIntyre's opportunity to win gold. Now, just because if Drew McIntyre beats Roman Reigns at Clash at the Castle does not mean that Roman Reigns does not regain the championship. There's only one problem with this entire scenario, and you know what that problem is. If you smell what I'm thinking, Roman Reigns is all but a lock to face The Rock at WrestleMania. So there's so much that could still happen. Maybe Cody Rhodes defeats someone else to become heavyweight champion. Maybe he beats Drew McIntyre. Maybe he beats Bobby Lashley. You know, I know a lot of you out there want to see Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns, and I do too. But with this injury, they may be forced to scrap that completely, maybe for another year when you think about it. So we will see what happens. We will see what happens. But Bobby Lashley, you know, WWE reposted that clip of him grabbing the replica title. You know, interesting to see the options that are here right now. And make no question about it, this Cody Rhodes injury now gives new life to several people we thought had no shot of possibly getting a championship at this time. But better match than I think many expected out there. Not a bad match. Ezekiel versus Kevin Owens. Zeke, you know, getting the chance early on. We get very early in the match a high knee by Ezekiel. Kind of reminds you a little bit of Macho Man. Climbs the top rope, beautiful elbow off the top. Reminds you of Macho Man. Even the way he wears the tights. I mean, look, we used to say that he looked a lot like Macho Man before Macho Man ever went to the WWF in the 80s. But he hits the high knee and the elbow off the top rope for a two count. Kevin Owens ultimately gets the upper hand. They brawl outside. He throws Zeke into the corner. And as a result, Zeke actually... Here's a picture of what it looked like. So not a bad cut, but enough that people took notice. I think he was also had his bell rung a little bit. But during the match, Kevin Owens taunting Ezekiel. He's yelling to the fans, "That's Elias! You're Elias! Say you're Elias!" And then there was one point that was funny where Ezekiel gets pissed. He starts getting the upper hand on Kevin Owens, and he starts yelling at Kevin Owens, "What's my name?" And Kevin Owens is like, "Ezekiel, Ezekiel." But Zeke does not let up. He gets a little bit of offense. Kevin Owens begs for a little mercy. Doesn't get it, but ultimately Kevin Owens gets the upper hand, hits a pop-up powerbomb for a two count. And then Kevin Owens, you know, forget about him earlier saying, "You're Ezekiel." He starts yelling again, "You're Elias. Admit it. You're Elias." Ezekiel with another high knee and repeating what started the match. The flurry that started the match ended the match. Because at the very beginning, Zeke hit the high knee and the elbow off the top rope. The final part of the match, Zeke hits the high knee, goes to the top rope, attempts the elbow once again. But unfortunately, Kevin Owens hits the rope, knocks him, crotches him. And then Kevin Owens with two super kicks and a cannonball, followed by a stunner for the 1-2-3. So Kevin Owens defeats. In fact, I think with the predictions, I think we got every match right. I think we predicted every match right. But Ezekiel loses to Kevin Owens. You know, even though Kevin Owens won the match, mind games wise, you know, Ezekiel's still in the head of Kevin Owens, but this was a good match. And listen, I know some of you still are on the fence with this Ezekiel story. I like it. I like it. It's fun. I mean, we know the obvious, but make no mistake about it. You look at Elias's in-ring work when he was Elias, you see what he's doing now as Ezekiel. They are giving Ezekiel a hell of a lot more in-ring time to work. Sure, this offense that Ezekiel's doing is a babyface. Most of Elias's career was a heel. So you wouldn't have seen a lot of this offense, but the amount of time that WWE is giving him is a lot more than what they gave him before. So we're seeing, let me say it like this. How many of you, like me, when Elias was out there, we were like, wow, you know, Elias, all they focus on is him playing guitar and cutting promos, insulting the fans in the local town they're in. You know, here, all the focus is on what he does in the ring, and he does pretty good. But Kevin Owens tonight beats Ezekiel. And as they pointed out, Kevin Owens' first match in NXT, he beat Elias. So Kevin Owens, is he the first person to pin both members of the Samson family? I don't know. All right, next. The Judgment Day versus Liv Morgan, Finn Balor, and AJ Styles. And as this super chat that came in earlier from Jimmy Tutton, DT, I think your prediction last month that Balor joins Judgment Day may finally happen on Raw. I agree with you 100%. If Finn Balor is joining Judgment Day, tonight was the final straw for Finn Balor. I think he is sick of losing. Finn Balor was the one pinned tonight. If you, and for those in the chat room, we'll get to Rhea. Trust me, we'll get to Rhea Ripley in a moment. You focus on this match, and it's pretty much what we talked about last Monday, that Finn Balor, a majority of his time in the ring, focused on Damian Priest, not on Edge. You know, at the very end of the match, Finn Balor got a shot in on Edge, but for the most part, Finn Balor focused only on Damian Priest. And if Finn Balor joins the Judgment Day and joins because of Edge, Damian Priest may not be happy about it. And as we said last Monday, we may have a situation where Finn Balor and Damian Priest don't like each other, but they agree to work together for the bigger cause, which is the Judgment Day. This was a fun match. Unfortunately, as I showed you earlier, AJ Styles got busted open really, really good, so he was non-existent towards the end of this match. There's no question that Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley have awesome chemistry together. You could feel Liv Morgan being brought up a notch because of her work with Rhea Ripley. This does not feel so one-sided anymore. And that was difficult to do because Rhea Ripley, based on her height, her presence, her look, you know, her history in NXT, you know, it's not easy when you're working your way up the ladder like Liv Morgan to go toe-to-toe with her, but they really have some great chemistry together. So the match was what we would normally expect from Raw, but ultimately the Judgment Day would get the win. Towards the end of the match, and we'll get to Rhea Ripley. I know you know what I'm talking about. Towards the end of the match, Liv Morgan, she gets the hot tag from AJ Styles, and her and Rhea Ripley are going at it, because remember, the women battle the women, the men battle the men. But Rhea Ripley would play a factor against the men as well. Finn Balor goes for the coup de grace. Rhea Ripley shakes the ropes, crotches Finn Balor. AJ Styles, unfortunately, busted open, so he was mostly a non-factor afterwards. Damian Priest ultimately tags in Edge. Damian Priest chokeslams Finn Balor on the way out. AJ Styles tries to take out Damian Priest, but he is thrown right outside the ring again because of his injury. Finn Balor hits a sling blade on Edge, one of the very few moves that Finn did to Edge. Balor climbs the top rope to hit the coup de grace, and now Rhea Ripley once again gets involved. This time she stands in front of Edge, so Finn Balor can't do anything about it. Liv Morgan sees it, gets pissed off, and she jumps on Rhea Ripley. They battle outside the ring, but because of the distraction, Edge with the spear on Finn Balor. So Edge pins Finn Balor. But the story of this match was Rhea Ripley's new gear. Actually, let's put this is better. Unfortunately, I don't have any ass shots. Grab them cakes. A lot of people were focusing on Rhea Ripley's buttocks. We're going to be a little cleaner on this show. Buns of steel. Rhea Ripley, I don't know how I feel about this. Now, for those who didn't figure it out, Rhea Ripley, I think, was taking a little bit of a page from the Joker. I mean, if you saw early on, she was going like this, you know, the Joker character. So this kind of had shades of the Joker. But I don't know how I feel about that outfit. I'm not saying it's a bad outfit, but it's different. I don't know. I mean, how do you all feel about that outfit? Is that something that you think would grow on us? I mean, I know people are mostly focused on the reverse side of the outfit. You know, look, listen, let me make it clear. For those who didn't see Judgment Day tonight, if you look up the pictures, you're not going to see Akira Hogan ass. You know, Akira Hogan, when she wrestles, it almost looks like she's wrestling in a thong. It's not that much. You got shades, little teases of butt crack, you know, the butt cheeks, I should say, with Rhea Ripley. I don't know how I feel about this outfit. I mean, Rhea Ripley's got an unbelievable physique. She's a very attractive woman. I'm not criticizing Rhea Ripley in any way, shape, or form. I don't know. I mean, if that really suits her persona. Maybe we're just used to seeing her the way she is with the pants and everything. But Garth says reminds him of Harley Quinn. I could see that, but, you know, when people used to say that about Alexa Bliss, I don't recall Alexa Bliss really looking like that. But you know what? You're more experienced than that, so I'll take you what you're saying. But the Judgment Day, get the win. And now you feel like, you know, like Rhea Ripley. Remember? I'm sick of losing. No more tag teams, even though she's in tag teams, but she meant more on the women's side. But I think Finn Balor now, since he was pinned and AJ Styles was left outside the ring because he was busted open, I think this might be Finn Balor's, in fact, his breaking point. Now the question is, does Finn Balor join Judgment Day tomorrow? Does he join next week? Is it just a pipe dream for all of us and it's not happening? I personally think you got to do it. We've talked about it before. Finn Balor would have a whole new crop of opponents to feud with, from Riddle. People would love to see more of him versus AJ Styles and not just friendly competition. Remember that match? Wasn't it a pay-per-view match and they weren't supposed to face each other and they ended up having a match after all? And it was more of a sign of respect? No, we want to see kind of like an intense feud between those two guys. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Oh, by the way, I thought this was funny. I felt bad for this guy on the right. You see that guy on the right on the rampway that had the sign Reez, R-E-A-Z 316? This guy was trying to get fist bumps from any wrestlers that would come out. I thought early on he was trying to get autographs too. But for the most part, I thought I saw him, you know, just trying to get fist bumps. And it was funny. He's like showing the sign as if any wrestlers knows what that means. And he's got all the focus on a particular wrestler and he's trying to get the fist bump. It happened all throughout the night. And when he couldn't get the fist bump, when the next person would come out, he would start all over again, gushing and acting like he was the next person's favorite wrestler. He did it. It was funny. And I'm showing you this picture because he did it with Finn Balor. And Finn Balor did not acknowledge him. And he's like really like gushing over Finn Balor. And then when AJ Styles' music hits, he literally just looked the other way. And he's like, it was pretty funny. I wouldn't call him a dork. I mean, he was an overzealous fan. But, you know, it was just funny. I kind of felt every person fist bump, trying to get Liv Morgan's attention, fist bump. No fist bump. Sorry, pal. No fist bump. Okay. Moving right along. Happy Corbin versus Madcap Moss. As I said earlier, this crowd was into this match more than anything else that these two guys have done together combined. This was a good match. It told a story. Moss was pissed. He wanted revenge. Corbin being the dick in this match. But as we talked about earlier, those fans want the tables. You want to use chairs nice. You want to use weapons nice. You want to use the announcer's chairs nice. But we want the tables. And they chanted it all throughout the match. Early on, Moss is pissed off, you know, getting a majority of the offense, getting revenge. Corbin gets a little bit of offense, but here comes Moss right back at him. Moss throwing the announcer's chair at Corbin, getting those loud "we want tables" chants. Corbin gets the upper hand, pulls out about this much of the table. Crowd is popping. Corbin puts it back under the ring. You get nothing. Crowd is pissed off. So at this point, I'm saying to myself, okay, you know when Moss pulls that table out later on, he will be over like Rover in that building. So we're thinking that's going to happen later on. So Corbin pulls out the table, puts it back underneath. He gets loud asshole chants. Moss grabs a chair instead of a table, and the crowd boos a little bit because they want tables. And that's when Moss yells to the fans, "You all want tables, but I want to whip his ass." So Moss is using the chair. They ultimately brawl outside the ring once again. And to me, this is a spot you should never regain your composure after it happens. Corbin puts Moss's head inside the folding chair and throws Moss into the announcer's table. So Moss's neck is caught inside that chair, acting like he's out. And unfortunately, a spot like that, I don't think you should get up from it. So Corbin rolls him back in the ring, but Corbin is not done. He gets the ring steps, puts them inside the ring into the corner, and next thing you know, Moss regains his composure. Sure, he's built like an ox and he's got a strong neck, but that move, you know, you really should never regain. But he got up, he powerbombed Corbin into the ring steps, which looked really good, starts chair bashing the shit out of Corbin. Crowd is chanting, "We want tables." So what does Corbin do? What does Moss do? He puts Corbin's head inside the folding chair. Corbin is laid out in the middle of the ring. Moss picks up the ring steps, smashes the chair, which looked great, and he gets the pin. And the crowd popped for Moss, no question, but they were very, very pissed that they didn't get tables. And as I said earlier, all Moss had to do was use one table, and the crowd, he would have gotten a monster pop. Sure, it's only one night, but it was so glaring, so obvious that Corbin teases the table but doesn't use it because that's what the fans want. Moss obliges. Fans love him for it. But because WWE obviously felt that it would take away from the main event, no, they're not allowed to use tables. And I thought that was a miscue on WWE's part. So Corbin is taken out with a stretcher, and hopefully this is the end of the feud. I hope they also tweak his name. I don't just want Moss. I just don't want that. Do they go back to Riddick? I don't like Madcap. I don't know. It doesn't flow with me. I understood why they did it with Happy Corbin, but I think they have to tweak his name a little bit. So it's not about marking out for tables, Thomas. It's you got to know your audience. And Moss, the whole thing with Moss and Corbin went on for a lot longer before they started feuding with each other. They were annoying, and Moss was annoying. But now WWE wants to get him over as a tremendous babyface. And the lead up to tonight's match has not been all that great. Fans have not been into it. Remember, it was the last event where WWE used stock footage from 10 years earlier to try to show a certain reaction. It's just, you got to know your audience. You got your audience. You really want to get that crowd behind Moss as much as you can. They're chanting for tables. You know, you use the table. But they didn't do it because of the main event, obviously. So, next. Mustafa Ali, Chicago's own. He tries to dethrone Theory for the United States title. Unfortunately, having a hometown advantage was not enough. Nice that Theory's family was at ringside. Unfortunately, he didn't get the Creed brothers treatment. Mustafa Ali fails in his bid to get the United States championship. You know, early on, Theory with a big advantage on Ali. The story of this match, Ali, several attempts at high spots off the top rope, every single time pretty much failed. There was one moment that was really, really cool, beautiful visual. Ali is sitting on the top rope, getting ready to execute a move on Theory. Now, Back in the day, we oohed and aahed when somebody would be on the top rope and Kurt Angle would walk the ropes and then hit the suplex off the top rope. Everybody would pop for that. Shelton Benjamin would do it. Other wrestlers have done it. What Theory did this time, as Ali is sitting on the top rope, Theory somehow leaps, does a vertical leap, and ends up literally sitting on the top rope and nails a modified Spanish fly, all in a matter of a second. And it really looked nice on TV. Theory, you could see why WWE is really high on this guy. But unfortunately, every time Ali attempted a high spot, it would backfire. You know, he tries the high spot, Theory vertical leaps into a modified Spanish fly. Later on, Ali gets the upper advantage, climbs the turnbuckle, but is crotched by Theory. Later on, he climbs the top rope again, attempts a 450, but Theory gets out of dodge. And this was Ali's demise. The final 450 attempt, Theory gets out of the way, chop block into a modified cutter. Theory is your winner. After the match, he is taking selfies, as he always does. And I don't know where you go from here with Theory. Certainly does not feel like what Theory envisioned he would get upon his return has actually happened. There's no question WWE was not going to go from point A to point B to make Ali nothing but happy. But where do you go from here with Ali? I have no idea. Maybe Ali joins Maximum Male Models. I'm just joking. But I said something about an NXT wrestler or two that might join Maximum Male Models. Got it some interesting feedback from that today. Go check out the earlier show. All right. So we're ready into the main event. And this is Cody Rhodes, torn pec and all, taking on Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins going out of his way to mock Dusty Rhodes. He comes out wearing the polka dots. He even had a polka dot weight belt with the name Visionary on it. Very, very creative, trying to do psychological warfare on Seth Rollins. And this was a wild brawl. Remember, they're in Chicago. And you think about AEW's history, they appreciated Cody Rhodes tonight. But we're also in Chicago, and you will have fans that go against the grain. Because a few times tonight, the fans were strongly behind Seth Rollins. They were also, at one point, very, very loud, "Thank you, Rollins. Thank you, Rollins." Crowd booed a few spots with Cody Rhodes. Sean, I wouldn't say Cody is self-absorbed. The guy's been delivering. The guy is eight slept shit WWE upon his return. He goes over and beyond for people outside. You know, he is delivering. And, you know, obviously with the injury that he has, he's going to be out for an extended period of time. The question is, did they still go ahead and give Cody Rhodes the trifecta? Or could it have been a change of plans because of the injury? So early on in the match, you know, Cody suffering big time, crippled, so to speak, because of the torn pec. It's completely torn off the bone. So, you know, there's a lot that you cannot do. But the visuals were there. And if you even noticed at some points, I mean, Cody was allowing the arm to be further abused to tell the story. Case in point, there was one part of the match where Seth Rollins picked up the ring steps. And when he ran and smashed Cody with the ring steps, you saw Cody, if this was his torn pec, you saw Cody go like this. So he gets hit with the bad arm with the ring steps. Now, if you think about it, that might be logical, because if you hit the good arm and then you can't use the good arm in storyline, now you're in big trouble. It's like Zach Allen back in the day. We used to say, all you have to do to beat Zach Allen is just hook the good leg. How does he kick out? Can't kick out with a fake leg. You could think you have muscle there, but you can't. There's no strength there. So you just hook the good leg. That's it. He's fucked. So early on in the match, Cody gets a little bit of the upper hand, hits a Cody cutter, a figure four on Seth. And then this was a cool visual. While Seth Rollins was in pain from the figure four, they're on the edge of the ramp, the ring. And Cody is inside the ring, and Seth is bending backwards, trying to pull things out from under the ring. Now, I don't know if somebody, and I'm being serious when I say this, I don't know if somebody was under the ring to make sure that some of the weapons were right at the edge of the ring area. Because remember, you go back and you look at it, when Cody is scrambling behind him trying to grab items, very, very easily you could push something further back under the ring. You know, your hands are backwards. So he could have very well, when he got the toolbox, he was looking for the Singapore cane, obviously. But in all that, trying to do that, you push items back in. So I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not kidding. Somebody was under the ring pushing things to make sure it was at the very edge of the ring so he can get access to it. So he grabs the Singapore cane and starts whacking Cody in that arm. And the crowd, you know, when Cody took the jacket off, as I showed you earlier, the crowd got silent. That was not makeup. That was 100% legit. So Cody is getting his ass kicked, or I should say getting his shoulder kicked in by Rollins. Seth puts on Cody Rhodes' jacket to mock Cody. He pulls out from under the ring the polka dot weight belt that said Visionary on it. He starts whipping Cody Rhodes, and the crowd starts serenading Seth Rollins. I mean, serenading him loud as can be. Thank you, Rollins, chants by the crowd. Cody Rhodes ultimately gets a little bit of an advantage, sets up a table. Rollins then attempts a frog splash on Cody Rhodes, but Cody gets out of dodge. Seth Rollins goes through the table. Here's where it was fun, kind of stupid, but still fun nonetheless. Cody Rhodes goes under the ring and grabs a bull rope with a bell, cowbell. And he is on one side of the ring. Seth Rollins is laid out on the opposite side of the ring. Cody takes the bull rope, ties one part around his wrist. Takes the other part, throws it towards Seth. He's telling Seth, put it on. Seth is looking at him like, fuck, you nuts. Cody's like, put it on. So Seth, hey, you know, I could be twisted, sure. So Cody convinces Seth to put on the bull rope, and now we have an impromptu Texas bull rope match. And they brawl a little bit with it. Seth crotches Cody with the... Cody crotches Seth with the bull rope. If you look, Seth's arm was cut a little bit as well. Cody then rings Seth Rollins' bell, literally, lays him out with the bell for a two count. But before you knew it, both guys removed the bull rope. It lasted for about a minute. So they both remove the rope, and we're now back to the regular match, regular Hell in a Cell, if you could even call it regular. Seth regains his composure and rolls another table inside the ring, sets the table up in the corner, and then he powerbombs Cody Rhodes through that table. We're now getting loud, this is awesome chants. Rollins gets a sledgehammer, attempts to hit Cody with the sledgehammer, but Cody blocks it, and Cody nails Seth Rollins with a pedigree. Now, you know the history with Cody, Triple H, pedigrees and sledgehammers. So Rollins gets a sledgehammer. Cody blocks it, hits a pedigree on Seth Rollins for a two count. Cody picks up the sledgehammer to booze. Crowd is not liking it. And Seth rolls out of the ring. So Cody rolls out of the ring to go after Seth, and Seth rolls himself back in. And when Cody went back in the ring, Seth Rollins hits the curb stomp. Two count. Rhodes then hits... Rollins hits Crossroads on Cody, but on instinct alone, Cody immediately hits Rollins with Crossroads, and they're both laid out in the ring. The sledgehammer is still in play. It is in the corner, and both guys were going to go for the sledgehammer, but Cody grabs Rollins and hits him with two consecutive crossroads. So we're now starting to feel that this may be the end of the match. He hits crossroads number one, hits crossroads number two, goes for the third one, but instead drops Rollins, looks back in the corner, and sees the sledgehammer. He grabs it, and then he nails Seth Rollins and picks up the win. And Cody Rhodes completes the trifecta. Where we go from here with Rollins, I mean, you could see that storyline where he will probably say he's got a lot of searching to do. You know, this might lead to something with Kevin Owens. You know, maybe snapping Rollins. Does Rollins turn babyface? You know, we've had some moments with Rollins where he technically was more babyface than heel, but with Cody out, somebody you would think is going to take out Cody on Raw. You know how WWE operates. Maybe on AEW or another promotion, Cody comes out there, cuts an emotional promo, thanks to fans, he'll be back stronger than ever, leaves, go to commercial, done. But on WWE TV, you almost feel like somebody's got to take him out. Is it Seth Rollins snapping and leaving Cody laying? I'm not sure about that. Because a lot of us think that even if Cody did not get injured, the match, the feud, the war is over. So if Seth leaves Cody laying, well, he's got to be taken out on a stretcher or something because of an attack. You almost feel like, wait a minute, maybe Cody wants to get revenge upon his return. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do on Raw tomorrow. But, you know, they showed the logo on the bottom of the screen, but we didn't go fade to black right away. So before I could complete, you know, the synopsis for tonight and hit enter, yeah, I'm waiting for it to go to fade to black. And now, you know, I'm thinking, oh my God, is somebody going to come out after all? And no, what we get is Rollins is out of the ring. Rhodes is center ring by himself. He's acknowledging the crowd. He's obviously got a ton of adrenaline because of the match and the injury and just the, you know, moment that he was in. And then we go fade to black. So the pay-per-view premium live event ends, depending on where you live. And I thought it was good. You know, not too many matches, very reasonable amount of time. You know, you can get success with less. And we've realized over the last couple of years that WWE has realized that you could get the same job done with 20 wrestlers instead of 40. And that's what we got with WrestleMania Backlash. Didn't WrestleMania Backlash only have 16 wrestlers on the card? Tonight we had a little bit more, but still, how many? Low 20s, 22? If that, maybe not even. So my favorite match of the night was obviously Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, especially under the circumstances. It told a really good story. Seth's offense made sense because of the injury. And I still feel, even though Seth has lost three times to Cody, Seth does not lose any cred whatsoever. Seth Rollins is one of the top stars of this game, and WWE will turn it into a storyline, and ultimately Seth will get back on the winning side of things. My least favorite match of the night, I got to go with Corbin and Moss, even though it was better than I expected. Just the overall feud, the storyline. If it wasn't for that match tonight, every match would have been a Raw match. And I just feel that them not using the table just to leave it for the main event, I think hurt that match a little bit. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a solid 8. It was better for WWE standards compared to what NXT is. In your houses to NXT standards. I think a solid 8 out of 10 would be more than fair. The women's match was phenomenal. I mean, Seth and Cody was my favorite, but the women's match was barely a close second. If Seth and Rollins would have given us a little less, I would have definitely went with the women's match. But I liked it. I thought it was really, really a good event. So that was your WWE Hell in a Cell. We are at exactly 1 hour, which is awesome. Because originally I was going to put WWE Hell in a Cell review in 60. So we actually ended up doing a review in 60. So you know what I will do now? Since this theme is Hell in a Cell and the participants in the matches, for the next 15 minutes, I will be more than happy to answer any of your questions. All I ask is you keep it focused on Hell in a Cell and the wrestlers that participated tonight. Tomorrow, we have plenty of time to talk AEW. We got plenty of time to talk other individuals. Tomorrow, I'll talk about Brock Lesnar a little bit because I think he's on the fast track of a return now. But Charlie's asking, I was talking about Theory and Cena at WrestleMania. My thoughts on SummerSlam. Too early to tell. Too early to tell. We just got through Hell in a Cell. We still have to get through Money in the Bank. With Cody Rhodes now injured, you know, he is the top babyface of Raw. You get rid of your top babyface, this puts Bobby Lashley in a whole different light. If they may be looking at something different. They may elevate Riddle out of all of this. Maybe Randy Orton returns sooner than later. Maybe if Randy Orton was supposed to turn on Riddle, maybe change of plans because of Cody being out. Would not shock me if Randy Orton were to return and Randy Orton takes that position that Cody was supposed to have. Not saying he would be heavyweight champion. So there's so many different dynamics now that we have to wait and see. But be interesting. I mean, this obviously shakes things up a little bit. Michael Gonzalez is asking, is Kevin Owens the only viable choice to win Money in a Bank after Hell in a Cell? No. There's many options. Like I said, Riddle. I could picture Riddle running around with a briefcase. It would be pretty funny with him riding a scooter with a briefcase. There's a few options. Brock Lesnar, if he returns, he could end up with the briefcase. There is definitely more than one scenario. I don't think Kevin Owens needs a briefcase. And if you think of Kevin Owens as a heel, wouldn't you think that if he won the briefcase, he'd just kick it in the crowd? Not literally. You hurt yourself doing that. But Kevin Owens doesn't need a briefcase, in my opinion. Rocky Red said Rhea didn't have her gear ready in time for a match, so she had to improvise. Okay. Thank you very much, Rocky Red. So at least we have a little bit of an explanation why she had that outfit on. You know, like I said, I'm not saying that it was ugly or she didn't look good in it. It's just, it didn't match the persona. You know, it was just something that felt a little bit off by it. But at least we got an answer with that. And props to Rhea Ripley for throwing it out there. Props to Rhea Ripley for doing that. Gregory says the polka dots have always been understood to be a rib on Dusty by Vince way back when. He never saw what the rib was. Go check out all the shoot interviews. A lot of the wrestlers will tell it better. You know, it was a rib on Dusty Rhodes, and he took the chicken shit, turned it into chicken salad. And, you know, look, back in the day when he came out wearing polka dots, I was like, okay, that's a little different. But Dusty Rhodes, and I'm not saying this now because he's deceased and he's one of the most beloved people ever in wrestling, but I could tell you as a younger wrestling fan in the 80s when he came out with the polka dots, we're like, all right, that's different. But Dusty was just so happy. And when he did the skits where he's the janitor, the pizza guy, the plumber, and he's smiling, having fun, and he's the American dream and just in a good mood and enjoying himself and seeing him dance with Sapphire, you know, it was just happy times. I didn't look at it and like, wow, you know, they're really embarrassing Dusty Rhodes. We didn't care. You know, you didn't have dirt like it is now where everybody has got to find the negative in something. Or now in the case of some people in that report news, they want to feel like they're part of a storyline. Hey, if I manipulate this a little different, I kind of feel like I'm helping Tony Khan and MJF. That's why when I tweeted last week, I said in my 40 years of watching wrestling, 43 years of watching wrestling, and I've seen the garbage I've seen with all these wrestling news sites. So I have just decided, fuck them all, and let's just worry about us and have fun as fans. So the polka dots, I look at it as a labor of love because Dusty Rhodes took it, smiled, didn't bitch or complain, and it's a fond memory. That's a tribute. And guess what? Wrestlers, even women wrestlers over the years, Tommy Dreamer comes to mind, but not as a women wrestler, but wrestlers over the years, men and women, have paid tribute to Dusty. How do you pay tribute to Dusty? You wear polka dots. So talk about something that turned out beautiful. Something like that. You want to pay tribute to Dusty? Put on some polka dots. That's not embarrassing. You see, where you take something, you turn it into special. So I don't criticize it at all. All right. Couple of more questions. Could we see Bobby Lashley at take on Roman Reigns? Yes, that is very possible. Roman Reigns, people seem to still want to ignore it. But as we've pointed out many times already, last year, for Hell in a Cell, guys, gals in the chat, who did Roman Reigns face last year in Hell in a Cell? Who did he face in Hell in a Cell? Or better yet, who did he face at WrestleMania Backlash? You know, who faced? My point, no contest, just my point. Roman Reigns at this time last year took time off. He didn't appear on every pay-per-view. He took some time off. He took a few weeks off. Roman Reigns is doing the same thing right now. People are still trying to push this narrative that Roman Reigns is now gone for the summer. That's not the case. I would not be surprised if Roman Reigns appears on this Friday SmackDown, or at minimum, next week. You know, we now have the UK event that's going to start to get pushed a little bit. So we will see Roman Reigns back on TV. Bobby Lashley is a possibility, but I think right now the focus is on Drew McIntyre. I really believe, you know, they sold 40,000 plus tickets like that in the UK. So something big is going to go down there. I think you got to take care of Drew McIntyre before you take care of Bobby Lashley. I'm not saying that Bobby Lashley doesn't deserve it. Bobby Lashley will do just fine right now on Raw. The question is, who does Bobby Lashley face next? Yeah, Chaos, absolutely. He had the honor to work with Dusty Rhodes and Kamala back in 2005. A lot of people don't know that Guardian of Chaos is royalty in the indie wrestling circuit here on the Northeast, New York especially. Guardian of Chaos is royalty, this neck of the woods. He isn't just a YouTube moderator. The man has a solid, solid wrestling career. And let me tell you something. To have the privilege of being able to work with legends is something no one could ever take away from you. No, it never. That's why I kind of regret, even for that little brief cup of coffee, for the bullshit that I did. I could have had my hair cut by Brutus Beefcake. I could have had this. I could have had that. And I didn't do it. You know, I don't know. I kind of regret it. But like I said, when I went to Connecticut and saw Lowlife Louie Ramos take on Terry Funk, my favorite wrestler of all time, and we're hanging out with Terry Funk before the show, after the show, and then Louie's front tooth gets cracked in half during the match. And he's like, hold on to this. And I'm like, what are you going to do about your tooth? He says, I'm going to keep it. I'm not fixing it. This way, every time I look in the mirror and see half tooth, I remember I took on Terry Funk. That's awesome, man. That is awesome. All right. We got 5 minutes left. See, we can get through a lot of questions, you know, in a short amount of time. We will not see Finn Balor go back to his New Japan Bullet Club persona days. I think we will see a moderation of Finn Balor. I've kind of touched on this before. I don't want the demon character to return. And I certainly don't want Bullet Club Balor to return if he becomes part of Judgment Day. I think we will see a little bit of a tweak in Finn Balor. His outfit will change a little bit if he joins. And again, you know, I'm just looking forward to see some new life breathe into Finn Balor. So, do I see Moss winning some gold this year? Honestly, no. WWE is very high on Moss. I like what I see. It's going to take some time. There's a lot of damage that needs to be repaired because of this Corbin stuff. But unfortunately, we don't see the 24/7 title used over there. And right now you got Ricochet with the IC title, and I think Gunther is going to get that next. Tag belts are out of the question. This is why I say, you talk about unified championships. Although a lot of people wanted that for years, be careful what you wish for, because now you eliminate opportunities for others. So Bobby Lashley could kiss the belt. He could tongue kiss that belt tonight that he had in his hands. Doesn't mean he's going to get it because there's less opportunity right now. No, I don't think Moss holds a title this year. I think they will take their time with Moss. I think Andre the Giant trophy was his gold this year. So no, I don't see it. No, we don't have to get into Manscaped tonight. I mean, I normally would plug it on a regular show, but this is recap pay-per-view, premium live event. So no, we just focus on this. And I thank everybody, you know, for all your support as always. Don't forget, this Wednesday, big deal, June 8th, I will officially be part of Pro Wrestling TV. They have picked up my video shows. And as a result, Wednesday comes back. I will be live Wednesday right here. Now, I'm thinking about what we normally do on Thursday. I'm thinking about permanently moving that to Wednesday. So Wednesday, we will have Wednesday Night Dynamite, and we do Q&A for our YouTube channel members. So we may shift Thursday into permanently Wednesday, because I know a lot of you have been asking me to do a Wednesday show. You're in the AEW frame of mind right after Dynamite goes off the air. So this Wednesday, I will be back. The question is, do we keep it Wednesday? I will tell you, I will let everybody decide. You know, you'll vote and you'll tell me. I do whatever you tell me. But I have a feeling that that's going to be permanent. So this Wednesday, yes, you will have a show this Wednesday. And we'll probably do one on Thursday as well, but eventually we're going to have to choose one or the other as far as days go. But yeah, I'll be back here Wednesday, 10:05, right after Dynamite. But yeah, check out Pro Wrestling TV. Go to my Twitter, @DonTonyD, or you can check out the synopsis tonight. There's a link. Sign up. You know, they are going to be, I mean, they're new. They just launched a month and a half ago. So they are brand new network, and some of the names involved are pretty big names if you go check it out. The fact that they wanted me to be a part of it is just very, very humbling and appreciative, and it's just going to make us bigger and better. So, yes, I plan on watching a new Broken Skull session. I definitely want to see what Jeff Jarrett has to say. Tomorrow we'll talk about Jarrett, now working in the executive role for WWE. All right, I think we're going to start bringing it home. I believe AJ Styles will win another pay-per-view match. AJ's not losing no cred right now. You know, right now you got to spread it out a little bit. They want to build up the Judgment Day. You know, we've had a couple of losses on Raw that kind of didn't make sense. You know, it almost reminds me of, you know, Stokely Hathaway, you know, the former Malcolm Bivens. The first match that he's technically in a managerial role on Friday, Kira Hogan loses to Athena. It's like, you know, you bring someone in some position of power, you know, what exudes power but winning? So, you know, I don't know. I think Judgment Day needs that momentum. AJ Styles is not hurt by what's going on. AJ Styles will not join Judgment Day. Finn Balor, though, I think the opposite, so. What's next for Liv Morgan? Just keep doing what she's doing. She's on momentum right now. And her feuding with Rhea Ripley, it does not feel old yet. So it's not broken. Don't fix it. Leave it a little bit longer. Sure, Rhea Ripley does not always want to face Liv Morgan in storyline. But Liv, you just keep doing what you're doing. No rush. She ain't going to take over, you know, Becky Lynch or Asuka or Bianca or a few others. So let her do what she's doing. Maybe she aligns with someone else when they finally start doing this tag tournament. So, all right. So I'm going to get out of here. Don't forget tomorrow night at 11:05 p.m. Eastern, we have your Raw post-Raw show. We'll get into Raw. We'll get into some other wrestling news. We will talk a little bit about the AEW stuff with CM Punk. We'll talk a little bit more about it, Cody Rhodes' injury, the possibilities of Brock Lesnar returning sooner, who replaces Cody on the food chain, any other news that transpires between now and tomorrow. We'll have some ratings as well, and it'll be a good show. So, Everyone, I thank you very much for joining me tonight. And on your way out, if you enjoyed the show as well, smash that thumbs up. If you have any feedback, any questions that you still want to ask me stemming off of tonight's event, post it in the comment section. And I'm a little, like, awake tonight. I'm not as sleepy because, you know, I had a good night's sleep last night. So I'll probably be up for about an hour or two answering comments that you all left me this week. So if you post something tonight, I can almost guarantee that it'll get answered tonight. So guys, gals, it's been real. Thank you as always. Once again, if you didn't check out the NXT In Your House review, go check it out. That was a fun recap to do, and a nice little tight show as well. So everyone, have a great night. Be well, stay safe, and I hope to see you tomorrow night, 11:05 p.m. after Raw.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.